up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Kyan Barnes. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How about yourself?
Good, dude. Good. So, for people who don't know, he's bassist for Cody West, and we're gonna get to know him a bit. So, how have you been, man? Keeping busy?
Say that one more time, man.
I just said, how you doing? You keeping busy?
Man, we're staying pretty busy, man. I've been, doing the thing with Cody, and we are, we're kind of getting started working on some new music, and I've been playing with Austin Upchurch a little bit, which has been a blast, and, doing as much music as a guy can do.
So, oh, yeah, man.
It's been good, man.
Awesome. Yeah, we love Austin Upchurch at Raise Rowdy, and now that we're on the Austin Upchurch topic, when did this fake feud happen? What's up with that? What's the genesis of that?
I'm going to be honest. One day, probably like 4 years ago, he called me in the morning and said, "Hey, man, we should start dogging on each other on the internet." And I said, "You just made the biggest mistake of your entire life." And I've just been pretty much dragging him for years and years since then. And just no mercy, you know. He woke up and made a poor choice that day. So I had to get him.
I got to say, that's some of the funniest shit I've seen on Twitter, man, when you two go at each other. And I think you probably, I'd say you got the edge on him a bit. You're better with the comebacks.
I think he's a nice guy, man. I don't know if he's built like that.
Yeah, man, he's a very nice guy. But anyway, yeah, let's have people get to know you a bit, man. So I guess let's just start out at the beginning. When did you first start playing? I guess bass, guitar, whatever you do play, man.
Man, I think like a lot of guys in the scene, you know, I think we started, high school. Growing up around campfires with acoustic guitars, singing songs with our buddies, and kind of started off like that. And, one day I was always like just infatuated with it, and, could play and loved to play. And one day some kids who lived across the street from me in college said, "Hey, man, we got a bass guitar. We'll give it to you if you be in our band." So I was like, "This is going to be awesome. We're going to be so famous." But so I learned from there and kind of picked it up and jumped, around a few different groups of guys at Texas State. And, eventually came home for Christmas break one time. And after maybe about 2 years of playing while I was down there, and got to know Cody through his wife, who I went to high school with, Bailey. And he asked, he was getting a band together, and he was from Denton, which is, kind of where I grew up, and basically asked if I would help him, kind of get this thing off the ground. And, I had known enough about him to, really like what he was doing and know that he was kind of around a lot of the right people and a lot of people that I looked up to and, never thought I would, get to be around or be involved with. So by the end of Christmas break, I got to tell my parents I wasn't going back to Texas State. And I was going to be in a band instead. So, that went over.
I'm sure that went over great.
Yeah, they were pumped, but they have been great and supported me. So I did that, and that was, about 8.5 years ago now. So we're still doing it, man. It's been pretty much we've went through one new drummer throughout the whole time, but other than that, it's been pretty much the same guys.
Okay, so you've been there since like the beginning of it.
Yeah, I was Cody's first like full time band member. So when I joined Cody, he was working as the TM for Dalton Domino.
Oh, no shit.
And so when Dalton was off, it started, all of his guys would hop on, and, you know, we kind of one by one replaced his guys with full-timers over the course of, you know, it happened pretty quick, 3 or 4 months. So, you know, one by one, we filled them out, and then kind of, you know, the rest was kind of history. Just start together and kept doing it. Made green, and, you know, it kind of set us up to, you know, go and do the things and see the places. So it's been a really good ride, man. I've been, you know, fortunate to be with those guys and, you know, a front guy that has always taken care of us so good. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun.
Right on. So describe a bit, like, when you guys first started out as a group, describe a bit what the Texas scene was like back then. Like, were there any mentors or any peers of yours that you guys like worked with or anything? I know you mentioned Dalton Domino.
So yeah, you know, Dalton was starting. They were kind of, you know, we started in 2016. So, you know, at New Year's, you know, essentially New Year's Day 2016 is when my journey started with Cody. So, you know, it was kind of the Co thing was like in the shadows rising, and a lot of talk about that. And, you know, Dalton, and, you know, it was still mostly in, like, over the course of like the very first couple months, like people that, you know, just I looked up to and grown up to, from my perspective, you know, being obsessed with Turnpike and Randy and all those guys. And, you know, we kind of like, there were a couple guys like, you know, the Co guys and South Hall and, you know, people like that were like, there's guys like in these other towns, like, you know, that are like us.
Yeah.
And, you know, we eventually, like, when we got to the point of linking up with those guys, like, it was the funnest thing ever. Like, you know, because we were all about the same age and all, you know, we were all just, like, pumped, you know, young and naive and just pumped to be doing it. And it's funny, you know, Green and Borrowed Time by South Hall came out on the same week.
Oh, did it?
So the first time we ever met those guys was a joint CD release show for Green and Borrowed Time at Denton Rock and Rodeo. And, you know, we both of us kind of like knew about each other, and then, you know, fast forward a year and we're traveling the country with those guys, and, you know, best friends, you know, to this day, you know, JT and Jam and Barb and, you know, all those guys, they're so good. And, you know, same goes for Co, just how, like, those have turned into lifelong friendships, you know?
Yeah, man.
Pretty cool, man.
Yeah, that's the coolest thing about, like, not only, like, the Texas scene or whatever, but, like, your guys' specific, I guess you could call it, like, class, I guess I've heard people call it, like, because, like, you guys do, just like you said, like, you're very tight-knit, you work together when you can, you have each other on to open, vice versa, and it's really cool to see that. And also, a cool thing to see is that over the past couple years, let's look at Cody stuff, like Green. He's his sound has evolved into like have a rock edge.
Absolutely.
And stuff. Personally, I love it. But like, what do you guys think about that whole jump that seemingly the whole scene made? Co, Austin Mead, all of them.
Man, it's crazy, you know, and I think it's cool because I think it's been listening to a lot of the guys' records. Like, I think it's been super natural. And it just kind of happened, and that is the way we went in to that second big project, Overgrown, which, you know, was we were kind of in the hot seat after Green. Took a while to start, you know, writing again just because I had a lot to live up to, and by the time, you know, we got to it and kind of found out what we wanted to do. And I think that is just we didn't go in with a mission, and it just kind of, we went in and did our thing, and I think our playing had just advanced, and, you know, our songwriting, and just, you know, it felt natural, and it's hard to even realize until it's, you're listening to it on Spotify, you're like, oh, this is a lot different, you know, yeah. And it's, that's what I always feel like. It's, you never know, like, what to think of what you've done or, like, what you've recorded until you're listening to it on Spotify.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's a different, it's like, then you can finally take a deep breath and be like, oh, okay. Like,
yeah.
You know, kind of like look back on it and analyze it. But, you know, a lot of those guys have had kind of similar stories, and I know part of that is credit due to Taylor Kimball, who I was looking through y'all's guest, and I saw you had him on. He's great.
Yeah, great guy.
I think that's really natural for him.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. we just came out from back there. You know, he just got a new studio, and it is so sick. It's in this old bank. So, like, oh, wow. you go in different rooms to, like, track this or do whatever. And the different rooms are old vaults. So they still have the vaults on them. So you walk in.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So the studio is called the Sound Bank. And it's sick. So I think that's that sweet. He's credit for that for a lot of those guys. And I think that, you know, maybe in a way that, you know, some of us that, you know, being all close and buddies were maybe like feeding off of each other a little bit in some ways. And it just, you know, it felt natural. And I don't think anybody would have wanted to do something that felt like, well, look what we learned how to do today. Like, yeah. And sound crazy. But yeah, you know, it's been, It's interesting because you show up with kind of a clean slate mentally every time, and you just kind of have to see where it goes, honestly, I think is the best way to do it.
Yeah, man. And with you guys specifically, because like when a whole scene makes like a shift like that, it's hard, yeah. Not specifically you guys, but anything like it.
Yeah.
It's at risk of becoming like a, like diluted in a way, but yeah. What are your thoughts on that? Do you have any thoughts on that?
You know, definitely. It's, I think it's easy for it to like create a narrative. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after somebody hears something that can be pointed to that a couple times, you know, that, you know, it's easy for people, oh, you know, they're doing this again. These guys are doing this too. And it's funny because it all goes back around and it's like a circle, and seems like a lot of people are like, it's now like more roots, like natural alternative or Americana, mm-hmm. I should say, like sound is like really kind of seeming what, you know, a lot of guys are doing now. And there's a lot of guys doing such a good job at that. And
I want to make it clear, I wasn't saying you guys were a part of that diluted group. I was saying you guys keep it fresh, and like it's like, yeah. You guys are like, when I look to like that sound that's going on out there, like, yeah. You guys like own it. It's like it was meant for you guys to play, if that makes any sense.
Thanks, man. Yeah, no, yeah. It's good. That's what we try to do, is, you know, keep it fresh and like never hit the hammer straight on the nail like too hard, and make it a little weird and make it a little different. So
yeah, right on. So
I think if you can be original with it,
yeah, then absolutely, that'll do it. Yeah. So we're talking on when we first scheduled this. You said you had a crazy story and you wanted to tell it on here. So let's hear it.
Man. So a lot of, I mean, I've been pretty public about it, so a lot of people know now who know me personally, but over the course of 23 to 24, I lost my hearing 100%, so I'm deaf. I have a cochlear implant.
Okay.
So, you know, in February, one day I woke up and couldn't hear out of my left ear. And, you know, I was like, oh, this is weird. And then took about 5 or 6 days and was like, okay, like I should start like trying to fix it, like do some home remedies and stuff. Do that for like a week. And then I'm like, okay, like probably let's go to the doctor. Let's get a doctor's appointment. It takes 2 weeks to get to the doctor. And then I finally get there. They go, oh no. Well, it'll be okay as long as it hasn't been more than 72 hours.
Oh.
Oh. Well, it's been 5 weeks. So, you know, it sucks. And I kind of had to adjust, like, okay, I have one ear, which is an inconvenience to say the least, but
yeah.
Life goes on as normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm probably not the best person to go to Chili's with, but, you know, so then about 6 more months later, so about a year ago from now, I noticed my right ear go down to about 50%. I'm like, okay, now this is like not, it's not a joke.
Right.
No, not that it ever was, but, you know, it's just
yeah.
Do at all, you know, all hands on deck. Do not miss a single chance to, like, do something to take care of this now. So it kind of went down and down, and it got to the point where, like, the pattern, like, became obvious that I was going to lose, like, totally all of my hearing. So I got, and it's interesting because at the same time I'm playing music for a living.
Yeah.
And like in the musical sphere that I live in, I didn't really want to be public about it because I didn't want, you know, I didn't want people to say, oh, like chalk it up as, you know, he's right. Done.
Yeah.
Or, he can't play anymore. Like, and so I was playing, and it got to about November, December, and I couldn't have face-to-face conversation anymore.
Man.
So, I mean, I could sit here and, you know, I had a baby at the house,
mm-hmm.
And I would still, every weekend, load up, go play shows, and I couldn't even talk to the guys in the van, and, you know, I didn't want to be dishonest with them, but obviously it's just, you know, there was no question about it. I couldn't talk to anyone.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been playing with them for so long, and I was, and thankfully, like, they're so tight, and, like, all the guys I play with, they're, you know, I can count on them, because that was everything at those times. And it kept going to where it got to the point, like, I couldn't hear the music. And I was just watching the drummer, Tyler. And, you know, I was playing and getting by. Well, he showed a time, you know, absolutely terrified every night. Get ready to play, walk around, scared to death. Walk in a circle and chain smoke cigarettes and take deep breaths until I had to go up there. And, you know, when I would walk off stage, it would be like the biggest, like, yeah, like I just like conquered Mount Everest. Cause I didn't,
yeah.
You know, I couldn't hear it and just finished the whole concert and it would feel so insane. So, then I got hearing aids, and about 3 days after I got hearing aids, it went to the point where they were not, where I was beyond it.
Man.
So, it's crazy. And then I needed to get this cochlear implant, which mm-hmm. is, a crazy deal. So it's, you know, it's a magnet and, the surgery is they drill a little magnet into your skull. And so right now you could pop this off and like right now you could shoot a AR-15 6 inches from my head, and I wouldn't hear it, pop it back on. And so, but it's a, you know, it's a crazy story, and my, or crazy surgery, and thankfully my wife is a nurse at Cook's Children's Hospital, so we have good health insurance and stuff, but the surgery's so big, like, they will do anything to, like, not do it, basically. So you're right, fighting and fighting with insurance to get it done. And then finally one day we went to Corpus to play with Gio, and my streak of good shows came to an end.
Okay.
And I had a train wreck, and, you know, it was Cody and Gio, big show, a lot of fun, and it was, you know, a really heartbreaking moment. And then 2 days later, I went down to 100% deaf and had to tell the guys that, hey, for now, I gotta chill. And thankfully, that next Monday, I was approved for my surgery a month down the road. So I was like, hey, guys, like, good news. Like, I'm getting this done. Don't worry about me at all, which... did I still, I was like, made it up in my mind, like, nothing is going to happen. I'm going to be playing, like, you know, that is, you know, like most of the guys in these bands that we've mentioned, you know, we've pretty much, you know, have dedicated, you know, our whole, like, young adult lives to playing. So, it wasn't an option or, something. So I start preparing to come back after I have this surgery, and, you know, my doctors and surgeon, they would tell me, like, you know, I just wouldn't count on playing music like that, you know, I in a band setting, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's just that's just not negotiable.
Yeah.
Like, that's not an option for me. And you know, God forbid you Google anything about the surgery, or if will it work, or can you play music with a cochlear implant? No. But of course, I'm just telling the guys, yeah, be back in 6 weeks. Just like, kind of like taking a leap of faith, and, you know, God bless them. They were so good, like, patient and good with me up to that point. It was kind of, but it was kind of, I came back, same way, went out for a big show with Gio in Lubbock. And first day, it was really like, it was do or die time, man, you know, because it was, you know, they can love me and take care of me and do everything for me, but at the end of the day, like, if I can't play, like, they have to go on playing.
Yeah.
And I have to pass the torch. So, I mean, it was a hugely anxious moment, and showed up, and, you know, first show after I hadn't been, you know, I hadn't talked to anyone. I hadn't had a face-to-face conversation in 4 months. Yeah. And I got my surgery done, and I'm back trying to go on stage to play music in a band in front of 2,000 people a week and a half later. I kind of hinted to my surgeon. She was like, I was like, yeah, you know, I'll be at the show. And she's like, you're going to a concert? And I was like, oh, I'm not just going to a concert.
I'm playing it.
Yeah. So, and it went great, guys. Like, it was, you know, it was a super, like, emotional, like, kind of feel good thing. And it was kind of like, after I cracked that first one, you know, it was all right. Like, let's go. We're back. And it was a moment of, I wasn't going to know if I was going to be able to do it until I'm up there and we're ripping it. And, went out hot and, you know, did it and had a blast. And it's crazy because, so I can't hear it's harder for me to hear like low frequencies.
Okay.
And you know, there's a bunch of like simulators that can tell you, you know, YouTube videos, what does a cochlear implant sound like? And it sounds like now that have been very fortunate with my experience, it just kind of sounds like life through like a good microphone. Mm-hmm. But like the first 4 or 5 days, like it sounds, everyone sounds kind of like Emperor Zurg from Toy Story. And you know, it's kind of like a detuned radio, and you know, it's like everyone has different experiences, but you know, and everybody's success level is very unique to them and like their overall experience. So they don't like, they're super careful and spend a lot of time on getting you to manage your expectations. And,
yeah,
you know, they don't tell you, you know, this is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Luckily I was on the fortunate side, but you know, it's been the greatest thing, ever. And you know, thank God it's not the '70s
or, yeah,
wouldn't be talking to you right now. that's for sure. It's been great, man. And, you know, playing, getting back, and like, it's been like kind of, you know, learning lesson over learning lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Some like we're kind of over like the hot, now it's just kind of like the comical stuff. The other day we played at Highway 30 and we played in the middle of the day. And so like right now there's no sound between my phone and me. It just streams straight to my device.
Okay.
And when I'm using my phone, it cuts the microphones. So like the external noise, you know, my dog's probably barking at me right now. I can't hear it.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm on stage playing in the middle of the song, jamming, business as usual. Mic's cut off for a second. I had put my phone in Colby Cooper's guitar vault to run on stage, and my phone starts ringing. All the sound stops. Ding, 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 ding. And I'm sitting there trying to make it through a song and freaking out. And
no.
By the grace of God, and, you know, people are these days, they'll call you 5 or 6 times in a row.
Yeah.
So
I got
done with it and got done with the song and went sprinting off stage as fast as I could, like a crazy person, turned the phone off. So, you know, it's been little lessons like that I've learned. I've learned through it, but it's kind of a day at a time and like different, you know, different steps that like show progress. Like getting to go doing all these shows with Austin has been great.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's a different, you know, different settings, different, you know, anytime you can take on a new setting or a different, environment and, you know, kind of do well, it's great. And, but what I was saying is, so I don't hear like the bass notes super well. So I went and got this massive platform. I'd show it to you right now, but my garage is a train wreck. And I stand on it. And I stand on it and it vibrates to the notes. So I don't really hear it, but I feel it.
You feel it, yeah.
And I stand on it and you run the bass and the drums through it. And you feel it. And then, like for my monitors, all I really listen to is honestly Cody / Austin's voice and a guitar and, you know, maybe a little bit of both guitars or two guitars, but, keep it pretty light and, rock with the drums and, you know, listen to the lyrics. So it's been an interesting experience. I went and did my first studio experience with Kimball a couple weeks ago, and I was so nervous. And, you know, just like I said, it's a different, you know, different environment, different challenge. And he was so good and patient to me, and knew I was nervous. And I had a little hiccup and tried to pass the base, like, in frustration as soon, like, you do it, because I was, you know, nervous. And, you know, he was like, no, he made me keep it and made me redo it. And of course, like, after that, it was 100% fine, and I was kind of over it. So shout out Kimball. But it's been good, man. So it's been a crazy story, you know. Not a lot of deaf guys playing music out there, so
no man. Yeah,
so it's been cool. I've been fortunate and kind of wanted, you know, I've trauma dumped on all of my friends and colleagues plenty of times throughout the deal. But you know, if I can share enough for someone who also plays that goes through a similar situation and wonder if they're gonna be okay, and you know, maybe see a story that somebody else is going to be okay, because that's what I couldn't find. I couldn't find a single person who said, yes, you know, I lost my hearing. I went, I was a musician and it was all okay. That story did not exist on the internet, at least on my phone. So, you know, if I can at least say enough about it for someone else to feel good, or, you know, say something to me, then I feel like I've, something good has came out of it.
Yeah, dude, that's insanely inspiring, man. And I'm sure that's, like, to hear you come out good on the other end. I remember seeing you post about it when it first happened, or you first made it public, and I had no idea it was 100%, dude. That's, like, scary. But, like, hearing, and I had so many questions when you were telling that story, and you pretty much answered them all. But, like, you hit on a bit of, like, adjusting to your implants and everything now while playing. And, like, obviously you, like you said, you got the platform and everything. How was that adjustment?
Man, so I didn't know how it was going to go down, you know, and I'm doing crazy research on stuff that hadn't even existed before the situation. Little known Jamie Gleaves of Whiskey Myers is deaf in one ear. So he has the platform. That is where I learned about that. And so he kind of geared me towards that. And then we run in-ears, you know, my whole career we've ran in-ears. And so I don't hear through my ears anymore. I hear through this. This part, I'll take it off for a second.
Yeah.
This part right here is the microphone. And this is where the magnet sends it to. You know. So my ear holes, or whatever the scientific word would be, like, I don't hear through them. So, you know, I showed up to my first show and with these big headphones to put over my microphone portion because I can't just put something in my ears. And Cody asked, you aren't going to wear your ears? I'm like, yeah, dog, I don't hear through my ears. he's like, oh yeah, I guess that's right. And then I did that for a couple weeks, and then just so damn hot and sweaty, and just the big headphones, you know, on stage, and a pain, and you just want to mess with them. And so then I went to play with Austin, but I had been doing it and then I went to play with Austin for the first time. And, you know, Austin doesn't run in-ears. He runs wedges, like, on the floor. So, like, to put it briefly, like, I'm sure you know this, but people hear the music they're playing one of two ways, either in headphones, which are in-ears, or on speakers that are pointed back at them. Yep. So Austin does the speakers on the floor, which is going to be a new experience for me. And so that was my first time, and I was like, damn, well, I hope this goes well. It's opening for Treaty Oak, so if it goes bad, it's going to go bad. It actually was, like, you know, a lesson learned, like, that was the new, I learned after that day, like, that was the method that I needed to use, so I adjusted that, and, you know, as far as, like, the levels of everything, mm-hmm. you know, it's just been an ongoing learning process, so I had that board, the platform I was standing on, and honestly, I've kind of graduated from it now, and I'm just really using a thing that now goes on your strap, and it shakes your strap to the notes you're playing.
Wow. I never knew about any of this shit.
It's great. It's not, you know, it's super niche. So, yeah. You know, a lot of guys, like, you know, would be like, if they just saw me standing on the big board, you know, they might be like, do you really fucking need that, man? It's like, it seems extra, but thank God it exists because I've got all the things, the deaf guy playing music starter pack. So,
gotta get back out there somehow, man.
Yeah. So I was just, you know, I wanted to have it all and be ready to go and, you know, not when, you know, do or die, good day came, not be prepared or have what I needed. So, shout out technology.
Yeah, man. And it's, if there's anything good that came out of it, at least you could look at, like, now you know all these different things that you that'll help you get through something like that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, man. And, you know, I'm hearing so much better now than I was when I was over the course of the time I was losing my hearing. So, you know, I feel like after you've been what I've been through, you know, especially as a musician playing and getting along pretty much as a normal guy is pretty much all you can ask for. And, it's, yeah, you can, you know, you kind of, have a lot to be thankful for after that. Because, you know, as after you get approved for the surgery and you kind of sit in the dark, not being able to hear. And it's a big speculation of, you know, is this going to work? What is, you know, what is life going to be like mm-hmm. if it does work? What is life going to be like if it doesn't work? I was pretty much already living it. And, you know, over the course of the time between losing my hearing and, having the surgery, I had, you know, a 1-year-old at the house and I didn't, know she was talking. Literally, I didn't know.
Man.
I'll never forget the first night I came home and, of course, my wife's all crying and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, we put the baby to bed and she says, can you say night night, Dada? Night night, Dada. Yeah. I'm like, holy shit.
That's funny. I'm like,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, that was the family and life stuff is, you know, it was a lifesaver and, you know, I can't thank. I'm so fortunate for, you know, my family and my wife and, you know, my wife's family even and everyone who kind of, you know, supported me through the low times because they were, you know, pretty dark and pretty low. So, you know, now it's just more than ever to be thankful for. So I'm getting my next one. I should get a call to go get my other ear done next, probably by the end of the week and be hopefully getting the surgery done in 2 weeks or so. So, I'll be like super excited for that.
Yeah.
Cause they say the second one's game changer. So, but you know, after, like I said, like all the anxiety and everything comes with the first one. Mm-hmm. And then I don't have to be, you know, I'm still going to be hearing out of this one while I'm recovering. So there ain't nothing to the second one but going and doing it. So,
yeah, man, you're on the downward slope now when it comes to that. I guess you know, does it feel like that a bit? Like you see the light at the end of the tunnel, right? Like you know what I mean? Like you're doing the damn thing.
Yeah, man. It's been a long year and a half, but. Yeah. You know,
glad to have you back, man.
Thanks, man. Y'all are in Nashville, is that right?
Well, that's where we're based out of. I'm personally in Cincinnati. Nice. So that's why I do a lot of stuff like over like the computer and stuff. But yeah, I know you guys go to Nashville quite a bit, don't you?
Man, we do enjoy it a lot. We go out there. It feels like we've never played the same room in Nashville twice, but it's always a good time. You know, especially like your first, you know, a lot of these guys, like I see making like their first trip to Nashville, and like, I think that's a real like milestone for a musician. And like, there's nothing like the feeling of pulling into Nashville with your, you know, with your band and your instruments. Like, it's a different kind of thing. And I remember on our first trip, we did the Whiskey Jam.
Oh yeah.
You know, we played three songs and snuck through the crowd, played three songs and snuck out. And it's like that, you know, it's not an experience of comfort, but mm-hmm. it's definitely like, it's one for the books. And like, that's a memory right there. And like, to feel like you've done the Nashville experience, done a handful of cool stuff there. So every time is always fun.
Yeah, I know. It's funny you say that. I think Austin's was his first time in Nashville was one of our events, and he came up there with Reed Barton, and it was just for like an acoustic round set. And like, he thought it was like the coolest thing ever, which, you know, that made me feel good. I'm like, oh well, yeah, no problem, man. Sure. It's just like, it's cool seeing you guys out there come and play around where I live.
And that is the same thing to be said for that. You know, it's,
yeah.
Even though it's like the best and like most, you know, memorable situations, like they're not usually one of like glory, I feel like. So,
well, he killed the stage that night. I could say that he killed it.
I believe it, man. His new stuff he's been putting out is absolutely terrible. But
no, I was thinking of dropping him a link to this and have him pop on like as a surprise, but I totally forgot. I thought that would have been hilarious.
No, dude, he's been killing it. I've been having a blast playing his new stuff. His guys are. It's so funny because. My guys, like, we were usually turn and burn every night. Like,
mm-hmm.
My guys are all, like, introverts. They can't wait to get home. You know, my guys are Cody, and, you know, we kind of get and do our thing, set up. Everyone's kind of to themselves, getting, you know, shoot as quickly as we can. And we played in the far southeast of corner of Missouri this weekend, and they, you know, roll out of bed the next morning about noon, sit in the parking lot, go to the Steak and Shake. Hey, would you like, will this be for here to go? Dine in, please. And we got a 12-hour drive, and I'm like, Jesus. Asking the guys, are we, my family's asking if I'll be home by Christmas. So... they're so fun to be around, and they're just you know, not a worry in the world, happy group. Austin himself is definitely like representative of the rest of the group.
Like, oh yeah,
they're the way they roll, but they're super fun to be around, and played some awesome shows with them. Like I said, we did Treaty Oak and a couple of shows with Dexter and the Moon Rocks, which were absolutely awesome.
Dude, yeah.
I didn't know a ton about those guys, but so good. The venue we played the second night in San Antonio, Stable Hall, I had never heard of it or been there. It was one of the nicest rooms I've ever played. Packed to the brim. And their audience was super receptive of, you know, Austin. I think that they have a really good audience that is a little different. It's a little, you know, it's not your typical Texas country guys.
Yeah.
And I was talking to James, the lead singer, about it. And he's like, you know, he said, yeah, you know, some days we don't even feel like part of the scene, which sucks. And I'm like, well, most people would say that's awesome. That, yeah. You know, y'all are doing your own different thing. And, you know, I would definitely say they're a part of the scene. It's just a cool part that, if anything, brings a different crowd into it, you know, and introduces it to people, see people. Mitchell wasn't on the show, but they're wearing, you know, Mitchell Ferguson shirts everywhere. Yeah. And I know he's played with them a lot. He's the man, dude. Crazy talented.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, fun times, man. Fun times.
Dexter and the Moonrocks. Sorry to interrupt you. Dexter and the Moonrocks, I had them on. I've never felt so out of control in an interview until I interviewed those guys. Like, it started, and then all of a sudden, it felt like they were interviewing me, and we were talking about, like, Tostitos and shit. It's like, you know what? I don't care. We just burnt a good 45 minutes. We're good to go.
They're cool, man.
They're great.
I can totally see that. Super nice guys. Doing things like that, meeting new people, as long as, you know, that's the best. It really is the best part of the scene and being a musician, and just getting to meet people in these other bands that are, like, at the end of the day, regardless if they sound like Gio or Randall King, like,
yeah,
we're pretty much, like, as people, we're not that different from each other. Like, you know,
right.
we have a lot in common, and, you know, we all get along pretty good, and it's pretty easy to make friends with most of the people we get down the road with. So,
absolutely. Yeah, man.
I think it's been cool, man.
Awesome. So, whether it's, I know you said that you're going to be busy soon with the other implant, but do you have anything that you could tell us coming up, like new music with Cody or anything you could share?
Man, we did a handful of songs. We got four down the other day. We'll be in and out. I don't want to give away nothing.
It's good.
No, I think it's safe to say there's gonna be new music in some capacity sooner and later.
Right on.
And you know, hopefully everyone digs it. So stuff out of Kimball's new studio. So we're excited. It's, you walk in there and it feels like somewhere like Chris Stapleton would record or something. Like, it's crazy cool, nice. We're excited, man.
Awesome. So, Kai, man, thanks for hopping on, dude. It was great talking to you. That was incredible story with you hearing, man. I knew that you were going through that, but I didn't know it was that bad. And it's really good to see you back and getting better and learning how to deal with it, dude.
Hey, man, I really appreciate it. I appreciate you having me, man. I hope to see you next time we're in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'll make my way out there. I promise. Also, before we head out, do you have any plugs, like socials, anything you want to throw out there?
Yeah, man. I'm on the gram, like all of us. KYONMB. And, I mean, that's pretty much where the stuff I do got going on is going on. So, check it out.
And look out for the next big beef between him and Austin, because it's the most entertaining shit I've ever read.
I appreciate it. I got big plans.
Oh, yeah. But, yep, Kai, thanks for hopping on, and we'll see you guys next time.
Absolutely, man.
My boots would look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight? Make a mess of this stuff.